Please turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. Our scripture reading today comes from chapter 26. The 26th chapter of Matthew is hard to talk of any chapter in Scripture as a pivotal chapter, but certainly this chapter is a poignant chapter. And the section we're on today is discussing and describing the transition point between the Passover, something that had been in place for thousands of years, into the Lord's Supper. This is Jesus meeting with his disciples during those last few days for this last meal before he would go to a cross, but he transitions them. And because there is so much fruitfulness here, rather than discuss this passage and then read it, I'm going to read it and discuss it while I read it. Let's begin now in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Now, there's an interesting aspect of that. This you pick up on it immediately. It's tangential language. It's obscure language to an extent. They asked Jesus, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover? Where is the house? What structure will we go to for this?" And he tells them, "Well, just go into the city to a certain man." And some have conjectured perhaps that is because Judas is still with them. And Jesus, of course, is very aware of Judas's heart and what plans he has already embarked upon and does not want to interfere with this wonderful last opportunity to have this meal with his disciples. Picking up in verse 20, when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. Now, one of the things that's true of this passage in particular, all four of the Gospels obviously discuss this transition point from Passover to the Lord's Supper, and each one gives details that are interesting and helpful to see. One of them from the Gospel of John would tell us, for instance, that in verse 20, when it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. He has already washed the feet of these 12 men, all 12 of them. That's adding to the poignancy of this event. Verse 21, as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." These 12 men have been through a lot. They've been through a lot in the last 7 days, a week or so, that they have been back in Jerusalem. They know something really singular is happening, but they don't know what it is. They're with Jesus at this meal, and he says to them, "One of you will betray me." That those words must surely have come as a stunning blow to all of them. The passage continues, "And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me.'" Now, it's easy to read those words and assume that the 11 disciples must have seen Judas dip his hand and known, but that is not the case. These 12 men with Jesus are all seated at reclining at a table, dipping their food in dishes and their hands in dishes. So that did not give away who the betrayer would be. Verse 24, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas then replies, Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." It's hard to imagine the heart of this man, Judas, at this point, who knows full well what he has done up to this point and what he intends to do going forward. Most commentators call this loathsome hypocrisy, to come to Jesus with this question, "Is it I, Rabbi?" Verse 26, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Every one of the four Gospels, interestingly enough, connects the word blood with covenant. These 12 men are not aware of exactly what that's going to mean and how it will transpire over the next day or so. They will witness this firsthand, but the blood of the covenant would be a concept that they would perfectly well understand given the history of the covenant and its demand that blood be shed from Abraham forward. "I tell you," in verse 29, Jesus says, "I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Verse 30 says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" Those are interesting words as well. When he says, "I will strike the shepherd," he's quoting from the book of Zechariah, prophet, chapter 13, verse 7. When you read Romans 8, you will understand that it is God the Father who is the pronoun. That is the I who will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Again, these 12 men are wondering. But in verse 32, he comes back to say, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." In the midst of what must be playing through the mind and heart of Jesus at this point, knowing that the disciples have no idea what is about to happen, he yet gives them a comforting directive. He says, "After I am raised up," now they're not going to know what that means. But he says, "I will see you in Galilee," where their home is. Jesus says, "After these things happen, I will see you in Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. May the Lord bless our reading of his word.